Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Clark, CEO, and Sean Clayton, CFO of Destiny Pharma. DEST is ticker there. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin. Good to talk again.
Yeah, and you've released your final results for the year ended the 31st of December 2022, and there's been some big news since that, so we'll talk about that as well. But before we get into all that, just for people maybe not familiar with Destiny Pharma, just give us a brief overview of what you're about, please.
Yep, we're a biotechnology company, but we're late stage. So we have two lead assets that are focused on infection prevention. So we're looking to stop infections taking hold, and we're targeting two areas, one of which is a nasty gut infection caused by a toxic bacteria called Clostridioides difficile, or CD. So we're looking to prevent the recurrence of that infection, which affects 500,000 patients in America alone each year. And then we're also targeting another bacteria which can reside in the nose. A third of the world has this bacteria, lives in our nose, doesn't cause us any problems day to day. It's called SA, or Staphylococcus aureus. But if you're going in for an operation in a hospital and you're cut open, say for a hip replacement or cardiac surgery, this bacteria can jump from your nose into the wound, produce toxins and cause infections. And these post-surgical infections can be very damaging. So we're looking in those two cases to basically kill those bacteria that cause infections. So infection prevention is a key part of all healthcare management across the world, and we've all learned the benefits from COVID-19, unfortunately, of the value of preventing infections, both to personal healthcare costs, but also financial costs, in terms of the when infections take hold in hospitals, damaging patients, taking up patient care and time and money, and slowing throughput through hospital wards. So there's a global need for new medicines in this area, and Destiny Pharma is at the forefront of bringing forward a new generation of products.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you've got a larger pipeline, but your two lead latest data assets is NTCD-M3 and XF-73. So we'll sort of focus on those if we could. And like I said, you know, for the year, we're now, 4 months away from the end of the year, so, and you've done some a deal since there. So if you could, you know, operationally sum up 2022, and if you could roll in as well what has happened since then on M3, and then we'll move on to XF-73.
Yeah, so on M3, which is an asset we acquired back in 2020 in the middle of lockdown, it's a great asset that completed phase two. So the NT stands for non-toxigenic C. difficile. So it's a non-toxigenic strain of this nasty bacteria, C. difficile, Clostridioides difficile. And basically you take it as a medicine, gets into your gut, the colon, and it kicks out the toxic strains that are causing the infection, which leads to all damage to the colon, diarrhea, and 29,000 deaths a year in America. So we bought this asset in 2020. And since then, we've been scaling up the manufacturing. We've also been talking to the regulators in the US and Europe to plan the clinical studies. So all the time developing a package, which we've been looking to partner with a larger pharmaceutical company, and the aim being for that partner then to invest in the required phase three studies, so the final studies that are required over the next 2-3 years, which then mean it can be approved hopefully and launched as a product. So it's a fairly classical biotechnology strategy. And as you referred to, in the last month, we delivered that partnering deal on M3, which was a key target we set ourselves at the start of 2022. We didn't quite deliver it in the calendar year, but we just nudged over into February, signed the deal, and also did a fundraising around that. So NTCDN3, which has finished phase two and is now heading towards phase threes with a partner, has been a very successful, I guess, 15 months from January 22 for the company. Sabella Pharmaceuticals, our partner in the US, will now carry out and fund, the $50 million required for the phase three studies and associated work. So we don't have to find that money. Mm. So we've taken that cash overhang off our company, off the balance sheet, and looking forward to work with them to move it forward. And in the meantime, we'll look to do other deals, say in Europe, South America, Japan, with that asset, which hopefully can generate further sort of cash inflows to the company.
Go on, Neil.
And then with our other asset, XS73 nasal, so we have two lead assets. This asset has also finished phase twos. We finished those phase twos in 2021. Actually, the data was recently published in an academic journal and very well received. In 2022, we spent the time talking to the regulators again, finalising the phase three study designs for that asset. That was finished at the end of 2022. So that is now in a data room with all the other data associated with XS73. Again, this is the product that's targeting nasal decolonisation to kill the bacteria in the nose when you're having an operation, so the bacteria don't jump from your nose into the wound and cause a serious infection. That is all in a data room, and now we're having an active programme, including active discussions currently with potential partners. And we're looking to, again, find a partner, definitely for the US market, if not globally. And the partner will basically take over the asset, carry out and fund the phase three studies, and then commercialize the asset. And we, as Destiny Pharma, will have a carried interest in terms of milestones and royalties, as we do with M3, and hopefully get our further income from those assets, and indeed regular recurring income from, say, 2027, as both products are launched. So, it's in the timescales of drug development, only 2 or 3 years away from really being close to, a true success in drug development. The true success is a product which somebody is using in a hospital, being prescribed, and obviously we want, sales to be as high as possible, because that gives us, a very, very significant, hundreds of millions potentially of commercial return in terms of cash coming into the company over the sort of the decade or more that the product's sold.
Yeah. Well, reading back on the results of the placing, and Nick Rogers, the chairman, was saying that management's estimate of the net present value for M3 alone is about $200 million. And of course, XF73, which you're in talks with now for partnering for phase three, it's wholly owned by you, bigger peak sales, so there's more potential. So if you land a deal on that, I assume the NPV could more than double, could it?
Definitely, yes. And those NPVs are not ridiculous forecasts. They're based on sensible assumptions, sensible product pricing, sensible market penetration. Fairly sort of standard ways of trying to value your assets in a biotech or pharma company. And indeed, both assets have fantastic value, but XS73 definitely has the potential to be larger than M3. It's a larger market opportunity. And as you said, because that's been developed from our own intellectual property, we own, basically all of that asset.
Yeah. Well, let's say rechecking sort of three broker forecasts, Equity Development, FinCap and Shore Capital, but their average is about 280 pence per share. Now, sitting on what? It's 30 pence. So that's 800% upside. So that's a phenomenal amount. And I suppose it was more encouraging as well. You talk about this. You've just had some, landmarks or data published on both these assets. Just give us some top line information on that, if you could.
Yes. So it's obviously in this area of science, and though we're a late stage, it's always important to have these external validations. Obviously, a partnering deal is an external validation. People only do these deals because they believe in the asset too. So we have that validation from Sabella. But also, as we develop the research and clinical data, you publish in what are called peer-reviewed journals. These are well-respected journals where any data published is reviewed by a peer group, independent to the project. And it's a really important part of developing these sort of new medicines. And so we've had some excellent feedback from the phase two data that was published just recently, last few weeks, on XS73. And also there's been other papers during the period under review from M3. So again, both assets have, you know, fantastic pedigree in terms of their scientific positioning. But more importantly, really, as you get to the later stages, clinical human data, this is what we have. You know, we're not talking about early data from mice or zebrafish. This is human data. So we have real evidence of safety and efficacy from these assets, which, as you're coming back to the points about valuation, there's a, you know, a clear disconnect between the value of what we have here and our current market capitalization. Having said that, you know, we're not the only company on AIM in life sciences who has that that challenge. But definitely, you know, we really obviously, as with those analysts you refer to, we believe in the clear value that's inherent in these assets, and our job, of course, is to keep working hard to make sure we get that recognised. And partnering is one way to do that, but also we're continuing to do other activities, including, you know, reach out, investor relations. And our message is, we think, consistent and coherent since the IPO in 17, and we've been through these tough markets before, and we will come out the other side as global markets recover. But we're really well positioned.
Yeah, well, talking about well positioned, like I say, you know, when looking at, you know, microcap stocks, you know, that are currently loss making, then what's important is a strong balance sheet. And ironically, I mean, you are now in a stronger position than you were like back in January before the deal was announced. You have a stronger balance sheet and a deal signed, and yet the share price is half what it was, which is just a mark of sentiment. In fact, Sean, if you could take us through post and pre during period of financials, if you could.
Sure, yeah, just in happy to. Yeah, so obviously we're a research and development company, so we're pre-revenue, so we tend to report losses. Headline loss, you'll see on screen for 2022, 7.7 million, which is up around 1.5 million on the prior year. And that really reflects, as what Neil said, a very busy, productive 2022 in terms of driving forward our R&D programs. And over two-thirds of our cost base is associated with R&D. We very much try to minimise our non-R&D spend and really make sure every pound that we're spending is put to use in really generating and developing R&D programmes. So in terms of balance sheet, as you rightly say, we had around 5 million cash at the end of the year, and we further strengthened the balance sheet last month with a fundraise of over 7 million. Which really gives us now a good cash runway well into sort of the second half of next year to push our programs forward and to seek further partners for those assets as well.
Yeah, so you've got, well, cash runway, you said the H2 2024, and I suppose now you've got a partner on M3, then that relieves some of the financial pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yes, yeah, the partner. As I said earlier, we'll take on the significant investment required to complete the phase three studies, we don't have to find that money. So that's sort of potentially a £50 million funding requirement, which is gone for M3. So that's what we've negotiated with that deal, and we look forward to our partner progressing. Obviously, we have our commitments on manufacturing this year. But we'll do that. We're funded to do that, and then, you know, we work hard with our partner to get the asset going into those late stage studies.
Yeah, and I understand you can't say too much at this stage, but like you've mentioned, you are in sort of negotiations already on XF73, and also I suppose are you in talks for the rest of the world for M3? Because of course with Sabala, it's just North America only, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say with M3, we were focused very much, as you can imagine, for 6 months on closing that US deal. We've got some connections for other territories. So now we've closed that deal, it changes the story talking to other territories, because, you know, the phase three is funded, so we can have a different type of discussion. So that's something that we've, you know, recommencing. We've been focusing also on XS73, where we have activity there, data and people looking into that. And we're sort of targeting a deal in the next 12 months. For both programs, but definitely I'd say the priority for us now is to do a deal on XS73 nasal. So that's number one target for sort of the management, driven by the board and obviously investors, is to deliver that, and that's what we're fully focused on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you say your active partnering program is initiated. Early discussions with potential partners have commenced. So you are talking to people.
Yes. With XS70. We've had some activity there. And obviously, what you want to do, just like selling a house, you want to have several parties. So you get this sort of deal tension and negotiate the best terms we can. So, no, you know, we're obviously, it's a priority, but it won't be rushed. We take our time, and we know the board are looking to resource that effort properly, because it's, I would say, it's number one target for the company this year.
Yeah, and I know the markets are dreadful, and you know the macro picture is gloomy. But what's the response like when you are, you know, talking to potential partners? I mean, how's their sentiment? Are they bullish? They look through this current downturn?
Well, I think in many cases, because they're larger, you know, some of them are not listed, so they you know, the fact is that even though budgets are obviously tight in certain places, in healthcare there are still, you know, some very successful trading pharmaceutical companies, because unfortunately for all of us, we all get ill, the populations are growing, medicines become more sophisticated, and it's you know, it's an expanding market. Where, you know, there's a lot of investment from individuals and governments in generally in healthcare. So I think, broadly speaking, it's a positive environment. And if you have good, you know, cost-effective new modern medicines like we're developing, that they've found their place in that market. So I think not. Obviously there's challenges, but I wouldn't say particularly gloomy. Definitely less references to stock exchanges for many of the companies we talk to.
Yeah.
Perhaps more, you know, more concerned with government policy regarding pricing of medicines and strategies there. You know, when you start talking to US companies, of course they get into the, you know, whether it's a Democratic or Republic president, I guess, it can sort of be shifts then in the sentiment and the sector, because Democrats traditionally, I think there's more pricing pressure, and maybe it's a little bit easier sometimes under a Republican US environment. But I wouldn't claim to be an expert there, but that's definitely sort of feedback we get talking to some of these potential partners.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, marvellous, guys. Thanks for chatting with me. So if you could then give us three quick reasons why someone, if they're listening to this and likes the sound of the story but not yet following you, why they should hit that follow button and add Destiny Pharma to their watch list, please.
Well, we've just delivered a great validating partnering deal for US rights for M3. So that validates that asset. We have a strong balance sheet and we're targeting more deals. And if I can add a fourth one, you know, as you said, we're clearly undervalued. So there's great upside potential for us as a life science AIM stock.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Sean, Neil, thanks very much. And hopefully we catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.